Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's pain-free Friday for all stolen minutes on the mahogany, waxing it up. 100, 200, broken into bad, hobble with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad life, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Quicken Loans studios in New York City. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. People dressing by the bag, to rent to drive as some kind of fashion show. I should do, but all my friend that come around, fight to party. Rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess, this town's in tatters. My brains are splattered all over Manhattan. Shake it, should do bad. Are you with us tonight from New York? 855-212-4227. Did you see me running out of here at Carver High? I was like, he knew something was going on before the show. There was a breakdown in communication, and I was hauling ass to the north end zone.
Yeah, you flew out of here.
It was an emergency situation.
You were on the move.
There was no decision to be made other than to haul ass.
That's all you could do.
And I think I'm ready now. Unlike my Penguins, who weren't ready tonight for the Flyers, 5-1 Flyers win it to even that series at ones and steal the home ice. Now they go back to Philadelphia for games 3 and 4. 5 and 7 would be in Pittsburgh. 6 would be in Philly. Those next two games are at the Wells Fargo Center. I'm sure they play Sunday. Is that about right? Sunday they'll play game 3 in Philly. The Jets are pounding the Wild right now, 4-1. They're going to win and go up 2-0 and win both their home games. Kings and Golden Knights set to go in Vegas. Game 2 there, Vegas up 1-0. So already tonight, a big night for the Flyers. Really, Elliott was the story. He shut him down. They just couldn't score on him, the guy that we've abused at no end. Couturier with a goal. He's one of their big snipers. Carver High.
A lot of chippiness and nastiness in the game tonight, too. Giroux with a hit on Letang. Hornquist later in the game.
That hit on Letang, he cut his hand.
Yeah.
See his palm gushing blood?
Yep. So a little, listen, you expect that stuff in Penguins Flyers, especially coming off a 7-0 game in game 1.
Well, they returned serve with a 5-1 win, so it's about even, isn't it?
Yep. Brand new series, right?
Now it's 5. First 1-3.
I'm still pretty confident in the Penguins.
We'll see. I don't think it's going to go well for them in Philly, to be honest with you. They'll be lucky if they get out of there with a win. So if they can go back 2-2, that's where I think they'll be happy. They cannot go there and lose both of those games in Philly. I know that much. What do you think of the Jets? I mean, they're just kicking Minnesota's ass. I didn't expect that tonight. After Dubnyk played great the other night and they had a 2-1 lead, I thought they'd show up tonight.
I'm a little surprised that they are going to win both these games. Now, they had to come back early in the third in game 1, dominating tonight. And the Jets are an under-the-radar, really good team. Not a lot of people saw them this year. They play in the Great White North. You don't get to see a lot of their games. And you're seeing them tonight just dominate the Minnesota Wild.
All right, so we'll keep our eyes on this Kings-Knights game the rest of the night. Mets up 6-5 in the Brewers, bottom 8 at City. Was that their home opener tonight, or they had already had that?
They had that their first game.
Rocky, Frazier had 2 home runs tonight?
Got 2 homers.
Rockies 2-1 over the Nationals, bottom 9 in D.C. Red Sox lead the Orioles 7-3 after 7 at Fenway. Jays up 7-4 on the Tribe, top 9 in Cleveland. Yankees up 8-4 on the Tigers, bottom 8. Rangers, Astros 2-2, bottom 7. Angels trail the Royals 4-2 after 5. Braves beat the Cubs 4-0. Cardinals 5-3 over the Reds. Marlins beat the Pirates 7-2. Phillies 2-1 over the Rays. And now, getting set to go all of these games. Diamondbacks at Dodgers, A's at M's, Giants at Padres, White Sox Twins washed in Minneapolis. Alex Dono will join us at 10:40 from QAM Miami to talk about the Heat and Sixers and the Marlins attendance woes and what the Dolphins will try to do in the draft. At 11 Eastern, Donovan Lewis, middays on the Ticket in Dallas. After Dez Bryant was released today, it didn't take long for him to respond saying, quote, Garrett guys, end quote, were the reason he's gone, and that he will see the Cowboys twice next year, indicating he'd want to stay in the NFC East. Would you take him after 3 bad years in a row in Dallas? NBA playoffs tip off tomorrow with 4 games, including Warriors, Spurs, Raptors, Wizards. Steph Curry reportedly targeting the second round for his return from his a knee. Will the Warriors get pushed by the Spurs in round 1 without Curry or not? 855-212-4227. Derek Jeter says he will not attend the Marlins-Yankees series in New York coming up next week to avoid an awkward situation. Will this guy ever show up at Yankee Stadium again for any reason? Carver High does not like Derek Jeter anymore. What do you think?
Look, I've been pretty open about it. I'm not a fan of him off the baseball diamond.
There comes a time in every friendship when you have to say, I never liked you, get lost.
I mean, his team is coming to play in the building that he won so many titles. Like, he only won one in the new one, but still. The franchise he played for his entire career. He's the owner of the Marlins now. Doesn't that seem like a nice spot for maybe him to show up at Yankee Stadium? Awkward situation. He's the awkward situation.
What's so awkward about it?
I guess because he traded them Stanton for a bag of peanuts. I mean, is that what the awkward situation is? I don't know.
Is it Jeter's fault that Stanton can't hit?
Is it an awkward situation that he never shows up to Yankee Stadium except for when they had that day for him last year on Mother's Day? Other than that, he hasn't been there at all? I mean, is that the awkward situation? You know what? Stay home, Derek. Try to round up a few people to come to the next homestand.
Steve Clifford fired by the Hornets after 5 seasons in Charlotte, and you've still never heard of him. Jody Meeks facing a 25-game suspension for violation of the anti-drug program. So, they're saying he tested positive for, it sounds to me like PEDs. That's what he was doing? I don't know what these drugs are, but they don't sound like... They're not street drugs. Do you remember a couple years ago? This was the night I think Kobe scored the 60 in his final game. Just wanted to think back to that for a second.
2 years ago tonight, right?
How great was that performance by that guy? His last game ever, and he goes for 60 against Utah. That was unbelievable.
It was fixed.
That's fine. I don't care if it was fixed. It was still awesome. So, we'd like to hear from you who you think would take Dez Bryant. We've got all the possible alleged landing spots for Dez Bryant tonight on the bench. And allegedly, the Redskins, Eagles, and Giants aren't interested in Dez Bryant, are not interested, allegedly. Here it is. The Bills fans should want Josh Allen. Carver High, do you want Josh Allen?
Maybe. I don't really know. I want Baker Mayfield. That's who I want. But he would maybe be my second choice, I think.
Sebastian Janikowski agrees to a 1-year deal in Seattle. I love it. He can get a job there, but not Colin Kaepernick. Mark Sanchez suspended 4 games. He cites supplement contamination, and he spent the week with Canelo Alvarez at a meat convention. I mean, come on. Johnny Football at a crossroads with his football future. Carver High and I always like to do our nightly Johnny Football check-in.
When's the next big spring league game? Is there another one of those?
I thought he looked great yesterday.
Oh, it's only two games, apparently. It's over.
There you go. Gleyber Torres has started three straight games at third base, including tonight at Triple-A. What's the deal?
The deal is they're setting up for him to come up here and play third base because they've got nothing out of Andujar.
Nothing.
But they have to wait till Thursday.
Yankees and Phillies favorites to land Machado. Here we go again with that.
We must get one of those every other day.
Kadri suspended three games for boarding in that game against Boston last night. It was a cheap shot, you got to admit. And I got all your odds on hockey for tonight, for the weekend, for everything. Ken Hitchcock retires after 22 seasons. Butler and Ole Miss will have a home-and-home basketball series I know you're excited about. Manny Pacquiao and Freddie Roach split after 16 years. Josh Norman and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Tanya Harding on Dancing with the Stars, if you can believe it. Florida State quarterback DeAndre Francois reportedly facing misdemeanor marijuana charge. Uh-oh. And later tonight, Carver High wants to talk about the Connecticut teacher that was running the fight club at the school with the children. These things happen.
We don't talk about fight club.
That's lesson number one. Are you kidding? It's hockey playoff time. I'm giving you puck winners nightly on PharrellOnTheBench.com. NBA playoffs start tomorrow. Baseball winners galore every day. Plus daily fantasy rosters, MMA, boxing. It's all at PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to Geico.com, and in 15 minutes you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Donald in Florida, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
I wanted to real talk of this, and you, I believe that you will believe in my thoughts here about what the Browns should do with the first and fourth pick.
All right.
Okay. When you have an opportunity to get the best two players in the draft, which is Barkley and Chubb, I don't think no one in the NFL has the opportunity to do that. If you could get two guys who most definitely can get on your team and make an immediate impact, two players, I believe you have to take them.
So, hold on a second. All right, so they have Tyrod Taylor at quarterback right now. That's their guy. So you're telling me that they're not going to draft a quarterback with one of those one or four picks?
I don't think they should at all draft one of those quarterbacks. I believe they should trade up in the draft and pick Lamar Jackson the end of the first. I'm going to tell you one quick reason why. For the numbers this kid put up, he's not your typical running quarterback. He's not a kid that sits back in a pocket, drops the ball, and just starts running because he panics. He gets 15-plus 100 yards rushing by basically with design run. He sits in the pocket when it's a passing play. He moves in the pocket and throw the ball downfield.
Right.
He never panics with the ball.
Hey, I don't dispute that the kid's a badass. We were talking about him on the show last night. Like, look, I'm a huge believer in him. I think he's a mega talent. And, like, we were talking about it, and I was like, please, God, I'm just being honest. I don't want him to end up with the Patriots. Because can you just see him becoming a rock star there after Brady's done and then they just keep winning and I want to kill myself. So I'd rather, but, you know, he's going to end up wherever he ends up and there's nothing I can do about it. But I will say this, of the quarterbacks that I've seen play, and I've seen them all play multiple games, I would say that my two favorite quarterbacks to watch play, without a doubt, are Jackson and Mayfield. Without a doubt. I mean, there's not even a question mark. I think Darnold can throw the ball. There's no denying he's got big-time talent and, NFL future set. He's good to go. I think Rosen's going to go high and have a career for sure. He's a little snobby for me, the whole elitist thing. Like, he's better than everybody, and he needs more juice, if you will, to be inspired to play. He needs to be around smarter people, apparently, to, you know, get anything out of it. That scares me. I don't need a guy that's picky. I don't need a guy that's going to, you know, be complaining every day about the circumstances or the conditions or the weather. I like Jackson. I like Mayfield. They seem like, to me, you know, hardcore football players. Now, Mayfield might end up being high maintenance. I don't know, because he's already, you know, he's certainly been painful in college. I won't deny that, right? I think he's been a bit painful and immature and crazy. But, I mean, he is mega talented. So, I mean, they're going to put up with it. Obviously, he's going to get drafted, and they're going to deal with him. There's no way that I personally believe a guy can stay immature forever. You know what I mean? Like, I think eventually every kid, every punk, every smartass eventually grows out of it. I'm a perfect example of that, I think, in some capacity or another. I think when I was a kid, I was a smartass. And, you know, I was argumentative and confrontational. And wait a minute, Mafia, I'm still all of those things. Sorry about that.
Yeah, but you're slightly more mature now.
He doesn't need to go to a big city, which will help him. He don't need to go to a blue-collar city. I don't believe they will embrace him. But if he's in a big major city, he'll have a lot to do. I think that's the best place.
Rosen needs a big city?
Rosen have to go to New York or a big city. If he do that, he'll be fine. But if he end up in a blue-collar city, he's not. He's going to get all.
You might be right. You might be right. I'm not, you know, I'm not afraid to agree with that. I mean, I can see that.
Donald's too young. He should have stayed another year. He can get you yards, but he can't put the ball in the end zone. He'd rather throw the ball downfield than throw that check down pass. So him going to a team that needs to be saved is going to kill him. He needs to go somewhere and sit. Now, Baker Mayfield is going to tear up the league his first year. I don't care what team he go to. If he get opportunity to get under center, he's going to win. He going whatever team he makes, they going to
win. Well, we'll see about that. We'll see about that. Famous last words. Great analysis, though, by you about all the quarterbacks. I'll give you that. But famous last words that a guy's going to tear it up and he's going to own it and he's gonna win and he's automatic. Nothing is anything from automatic in the NFL. You have no clue what's going to happen to any of these kids. No one ever knew Brady would be this great. They don't know what any of these kids are going to do. They have no clue. It's a gigantic cluster Pharreller. I mean, you have no clue what it's going to happen. If the kid's going to be a bust, if he's going to be good, he's going to be great, he's going to be a winner, he's going to be a loser. I mean, all these guys come in, everyone, they think they're all going to be great, right? These star quarterbacks in college. And then, you know, they turn into disasters. You never know what you're going to get. I mean, we could go down the litany of guys that have been just crash landings in the NFL. That were great college quarterbacks that were fun to watch on Saturdays and were terrible on Sundays. Seriously. And I still can't even believe, like, honestly, the Sanchez thing. Now, listen, I've known Mark forever, right, Moff? I cannot believe. I've known him forever. And I just can't even believe that he's gone from, glory to some relative success in the NFL, going to a couple title games, right, in the with the Jets, right? Didn't he go to two of them?
Back to back.
And then the butt fumble, and then now steroids are like what? Like PEDs or contaminated supplements? Like, is there anything worse than hearing that? Like contaminated meat, contaminated supplements? I mean, I got to tell you, Mafia, those bong rips I do are just contaminated.
Well, love every one of these guys. Like, that's the go-to excuse for everyone, contaminated supplements. Well, then maybe everyone should get off supplements, because apparently everything you ever take is contaminated for these guys.
Contaminated vitamins, contaminated orange juice. I'll tell you what's contaminated, Mafia. The
contaminated kisses, remember that one?
Oh, yeah, the girl gave him
he made out with his girl from the Olympian.
Yeah.
And they accepted it.
I'll tell you what's contaminated, that the Pharrell Ballers are back together. The league's contaminated now with losses after they have to play us.
It was contaminated, the Hudson River, but we don't seem to get PED tests.
So, Kevin Dexter's in here. Let me ask you a question. So I heard that you are playing ball now in Ultimate Hoops.
I am. So, well, I did last year. I'm not playing in the current one.
You're not playing in the spring?
No.
When did you play? In the winter?
I played in the winter.
How did it go?
It was fun.
Did your team, you were in Syosset?
Yeah, we lost in the Garden City.
Garden
we lost
City.
In the championship game.
So that's not Syosset.
No.
So it's a different one. That's the new one, Garden
new
City.
One, Garden
it's a brand
City.
New one.
Yeah.
Who'd you lose in the semis, finals?
We lost in the championship game, and I missed the game-winning three at the buzzer.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Or game-tying three, yeah.
So,
appropriate sound effect.
Mavi, I hit a 30-footer to send the game into overtime in the semis.
Yes,
and we lost by one in overtime. So I hit the three from 30, a bomb, to send it to overtime. Then we lost by one in overtime, and I went home. I'm like, yeah, I hit a 30-footer at the buzzer to send the game into overtime. And my son goes, did you win? I go, no. He goes, you suck. So, but I didn't know that you were someone told me that you were an AAU player at one time or
yes.
another when you were a kid.
I was pretty good as a kid growing
You
up.
Were a good high school player.
Yes.
And where did you play high school ball?
I just public school on Long Island, nothing
but
special.
You played through yeah. senior year?
Yeah. And then I played on – I could have gone D3 if I wanted to, but I did the broadcasting thing in
right.
college. So I just played on the club team in college. But
you could have – but you played AAU basketball
yes.
at some point or another. So you were really good. So what's it like for you to pick it back up? No problem. You like it?
Yeah,
you're balling? Well, how tall are you?
6'4"? 6'4".
6'4", 200? What are you, 210?
About 185.
185? So you're pretty skinny, but you're a big boy. 6'4", 185? So what will happen is, so you can, like, do it all now and dunk and everything?
I can still dunk
okay,
a little
so
bit, yeah.
Okay, so when you get to 215 and you're 6'4", and you're old like me, you won't be able to dunk anymore. It's the worst. Because I used to be able to dunk and do everything. When I weighed 185 pounds, yeah. I'd fly down the lane and throw down. Now I can only touch the rim, barely. Once you get fat, you can't jump, trust me. And once your legs go, it's even worse. But I heard you were playing. That's good.
Yeah.
Do you know that's the league I play in?
Yeah, in Jersey, right.
Did you know I had played in that league all these years?
Well, you talk about basketball
right,
playing all the time.
Right.
I didn't realize it was that specific league.
Yeah.
And then I joined the Facebook group, and I saw some stuff from you and Mafia.
Then
and
then you
I realized,
figured it out.
Yeah.
We play in the same league as you.
Have to do a
cross
trip to Jersey
yeah,
or something
like
that.
You got
to
play us. We got a really good team. We've won
I've
a
heard.
Bunch of championships, but we've lost a bunch, too. We've been to 12.
That's pretty good.
But we're like 7-5.
Well, I've only played in one league, and I've been to one. So
it's great, though. It's a great league.
It's awesome. They keep your stats online.
Everything's great.
Awesome.
All right, it's time. Mafia's like now warning me that we have to stop talking about your glory days. Screw you, Mafia.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, Alex Dono is our good buddy down in Miami at the Great QAM. He does nights on 560. Awesome station. One of my all-time favorites. Alex, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Scott, I'm doing great, man. And I used to listen to you back on QAM back in the day, so it comes full circle.
I was surprised that I was able to get up in the morning, Alex, to do that show. Hey, so let me ask you... Seriously, we were talking earlier about Derek Jeter on the show here because obviously people in New York are enamored with him, and now they're like they're against him now. It's the weirdest relationship you ever seen because when he played here for 20 years, he was God, and now he's like this. I don't know, how would you describe him, Carver High? Like he's not the enemy, but people are like, what happened to him? Like people are like, what's wrong with Derek Jeter? He turned into someone we don't like.
Yeah, I think it actually started even before he bought the Marlins, just the way that he was acting, never showing up at the stadium. But he's really shown his true color since he bought that team.
So what do you think, Alex, of that he's like, well, I don't really care if he comes to New York to the games next week. To me, that's ridiculous. But tell me what the relationship is like in Miami with Derek and the team and the fans and everything since he took over.
Well, the fans don't like him here either, quite frankly, and it's tough when the first thing you do, essentially, the first thing you do after you buy the Miami Marlins is you trade everybody. Like, you trade Giancarlo Stanton, you trade Christian Yelich, you trade Marcelo Ozuna, you trade D. Gordon. Like, and obviously the Marlins were not a very good team to begin with, but any of the players the fans liked, any of the players the fans recognized, those are the first players you get rid of your first day in, and, you know, he talks about this great master plan It's going to require a lot of patience from fans, right? Because you're getting rid of your theoretically your best players to bring in prospects that fans won't actually see on the field for a couple of years. You're talking about guys who are playing double-A ball and triple-A ball right now. So, yeah, I mean, he's gotten off to a very rocky start with the fans down here. And, you know, the only way to build a relationship is to win some baseball games. And, you know, you would expect the Marlins probably win somewhere between 60 and 65 games this year, barring some miracle.
I think it's
safe to say he's not going to be very well liked down here for a while because he's, you know, he's not done anything since arriving in South Florida to endear himself to the fans.
Alex Donna with us from QAM in Miami. Do you think, explain to people, Alex, so about Gio. So he comes up here and he, in the first, you know the deal, the first game he hit two home runs and he was God. And then he proceeded to strike out five times twice and he's had multiple 0-for games. And he has been their whipping boy of late. Like, they are chastising this guy. Like, you have no, it's like Ed Whitson. They're just abusing this guy in New York now on the radio, on TV, online, Twitter, you name it. Any way you can come up with to abuse him. My question to you is, tell people, explain to people what you think he'll, you know, you've seen him play every day. What will he turn into here? Let's say, for instance, when it heats up and when he plays to his fullest potential, because I think there's something to be said for the whole change, freezing cold up here. He's been playing in these horrible games at the beginning of the season, and he's looked terrible, but I have a feeling he'll break out at some point or another and make everyone eat their words.
Yeah, especially since you go from the Miami Marlins to the New York Yankees. Like, just the, not only the change in weather, Scotty, but the change in pressure, right? The change in the stage that you're playing on. So I think at certain points this season, Stanton is going to go on some tears where 20-game stretch, 25-game stretch, he's hitting home runs, he's hitting bombs every night. But he's always going to strike out a lot. Like, that's part of his MO. He's not great at working the counts. You're going to have some of these games where he goes 0-for-5. You're going to have to live through some of those. But I would suspect you're probably going to get at least a couple stretches this year where for 20, 25 games, this guy is hitting one or two bombs out of the park every night. And so, yeah, I would imagine in a place like New York, in a fan base like the Yankees, where, you know, they are so passionate and they're going to turn on a guy as fast as they're going to love a guy. I think by the end of the year, Yankees fans will love Stanton. I think he's going to give you plenty to be excited about up there.
So, Alex Dono, tell me about the Landry guy. So he goes to the Browns and they've offered him all this fat bank, and I can hear you laughing. Tell me what you think that relationship's going to turn into, or is that going to be a divorce?
Yeah, man, it's so hard because it depends on who's playing quarterback there. Landry, he was a really good safety net for Ryan Tannehill when he was here. And I like Jarvis Landry a lot. I think it's unfortunate he's no longer a Dolphin, but I wouldn't pay him the money Cleveland is paying him. Because the thing with Jarvis Landry is, if they had gotten an extension done with him a year before he hit free agency instead of waiting until the year he hit the market, I think they could have gotten him at a hometown discount here. I thought the Dolphins dropped the ball on that. I wouldn't give him the $75 million he's getting now, but if they could have worked out something a year ago, because he wanted to sign an extension last year. He didn't want to hit the free agent market. He wanted to get something done last year, but they let it go. He had another 112 catch season, so his value went up. For Jarvis Landry, this is a guy who he's going to catch probably 100-plus passes this year, no matter who the quarterback is, but most of the passes he's going to catch are going to be 8-9 yards. Like, he's not a game-changing player. He's going to catch some touchdowns. He's going to move the chains a few times. But if you're in a bad spot, you need to convert a big third down, you're backed up 3rd and 15, that's not the guy you go to. Jarvis Landry is, you know, he's a slot receiver who's going to catch a ton of volume, but he's not, you know, a Mike Wallace, an Antonio Brown, I should say, type of game changer who's going to be catching stuff 30, 40 yards down the field. So I think the decision the Dolphins made on the guy was, you know, we view him as a safety valve volume slot receiver, but he wants to get paid like a number one boundary receiver, and they saw a disconnect there with the price he was asking for. And so the Dolphins just decided, we like this guy, but he's not worth that kind of money. So if Cleveland thinks they've got now a game-changing wide receiver, I think he probably makes that team a little bit better, but not at that price.
What do you think? Alex Dono does nights on QAM, the great station in Miami, 560, our affiliate. Do you think they're going to do in terms of what's their plan for the draft? Now that they got rid of all this money and Sue and Landry, et cetera, where do they sit?
They're number 11 in the first round, and I'm fascinated by this draft from a Dolphins point of view because they're, I think Adam Gase is in love with the idea of Baker Mayfield, but I don't think he's going to be there at number 11, and I don't think the Dolphins can afford to trade up into the top 7 or the top 5, whatever it would take to draft one of these top 4 quarterbacks because, Scott, they've got so many needs, man, and a lot of it comes from the fact that you know, that they let that they trade Jarvis Landry, that they cut Ndamukong Suh, that they cut Mike Pouncey, but I think they're going to be all right on the offensive line. But they need help on defense, right? I think if you get this ideal scenario for Adam Gase, who's not the guy who makes the final decisions, the general manager, Chris Greer, is the one who actually selects the players, but he takes a lot of input from Adam Gase. If by from Gase's perspective, if a miracle happens that Baker Mayfield is still on the board at number 11, Adam Gase seems to be in love with him. I think they take him. But in the more likely event that, you know, the 4 top quarterbacks are off the board at that point, I think they would go with either a defensive tackle like Vita Vea, who could, you know, maybe become your Ndamukong Suh replacement, quote-unquote, moving forward. I think they could go definitely for a linebacker like Tremaine Edmonds from Virginia Tech or Roquan Smith from Georgia, who's a little bit undersized, but they say nice things about him. Or, you know, there's also some talk that if Derwin James, the safety out of Florida State, is there, that they would take a long, hard look at him because they see him as being, you know, a future great safety. And even though, like, one of the things that's frustrating about the Dolphins is they're spending a lot of money on the safety position because they have Rashad Jones, who's a Pro Bowler. You know, McDonald, they really like, who they just gave a new contract to, but they're both strong safeties. So they're paying a lot of money for a couple of safeties who don't really play well with each other. They kind of play the same position. So, you know, I think a guy like Derwin James, if he's there, could fill that role. So they've got a ton more needs on defense, Scotty. I think that they're in love with a flashy quarterback, but the more practical pick would be a defensive player because they got a lot of holes back there.
So, respectfully, I got 1 minute. Tell me what you think of the Heat and their road woes as they go into this series with the Sixers, who are on fire.
I think the Heat will – they realistically, they'd be happy to get a 6 or 7 game series out of this and lose to the Sixers. They're not beating Philadelphia. Philadelphia is too long, and they've got the 2 best players in that series. Ben Simmons, obviously, and, you know, Joel Embiid, when he plays, is going to be the 2nd best player in that series. The Heat don't have enough firepower. I think Eric Spoelstra is a good enough coach. They're a gritty enough team to go 6 or 7, but they're not winning that series.
Is it true that the Heat have reached out to you about a 10-day deal for your newborn son, Luka, to be playing in the playoffs?
Man, if he can guard Ben Simmons, Scotty, I think they should sign him up.
I like that. Congratulations on the arrival.
Thanks, man.
My man. Hey, Alex, thanks for coming on the bench. Have a great weekend, brother. Great job.
You too, man. My pleasure.
All the best. Alex Dono, QAM, Miami. So I just want you to know, of all the Eastern Conference teams, they have the worst road record. It's unbelievable. They were competitive in a lot of their games on the road. They only 2 road wins in the last 3 months were against the Hawks and Lakers. That was it. So they just have not played well. 18-23, the Heat have the worst record among Eastern Conference playoff teams. Only the Spurs and Wolves have poor road records of the postseason teams. And one of the things I worry about with that club, how do you screw up that relationship with Whiteside? I mean, you got to keep the big fella happy. I don't see what the problem is there. Like, are you kidding me? You're going to run that guy out of town?
Sixers and 5.
Sixers and 5. 0 respect for the Heat from Carver High. On a paper, Rod Averill, Dolan, Minnesota on a mahogany, wagging it up. Got the Rella Pub, flowing beers. 855-212-4. CBS.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.